Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome. First item of business for our remote meetings is for me to read the following preamble, so please bear with me. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. With that, we will do a roll call of committee members, board and committee members. My name is Peter Lisi, interim chair of the consultant vendor committee and chair of the board for CHESLA, obviously present. Let's see, is Carrie Kelly on the call? Carrie? Wasn't expecting her. Laura Baker?
Laura Baker here for Kelly Valerie's.
Thank you, Laura. And Bettina Brown Eyes?
Present.
Great, thank you. Did I miss anyone? Great. All right, further with our preamble for remote meetings, individuals must state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or an email advising them whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that, we can get right down to business. And the first item on our agenda is the review of the minutes from November 10th, 2021. I think, Laura, were you in attendance or did Kelly Marie attend that one? I think Kelly Marie is on, it shows.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and look, I'm sorry.
Well, if there are no objections to the minutes as presented, Bettina, I know you weren't there.
Yeah, and I'll have to abstain.
Right, and some other committee members who were there are not able to make it today. So we can adopt the minutes if there are no objections to them. So obviously, Bettina, you're abstaining. Laura, it does look like on the minutes you're listed as present, but also Kelly Marie is listed as present. So I'm not sure which one attended. But if there's no objections, we can go ahead and accept the minutes as presented, unless there's an objection to that. Okay, fine. Then let's get right into the bond council memo. Our task today is to review the RFPs received for bond council and then loan collections. Shannon, I think you're going to walk us through the first one, the bond council, if you could.
Yep. Good morning, everybody. So as per the requirement, we, every 3 years, have to request proposals for our bond council. And so that was posted to their appropriate websites on January 10th, as well as I emailed 13 companies in addition to posting it to the two websites. We received the following responses from six firms. So Day Pitney, Chapman and Cutler, Robinson and Cole, Locke and Lord, Holman and Comley, Mintz, Levin, Cohen, Barris, Govinsky, and Papeo. I hope I said their names right. And then we evaluated each RFP responses based on assortment of criteria, but just the reputation, experience of the firm serving as bond counsel and tax exempt financing, supplemental student loan financing, et cetera. In addition, we asked each firm to provide plans to secure its systems and facilities to protect our records and provide copy of their disaster recovery and business continuity plans. So the staff recommends appointing Pullman and Conley for a period of 3 years plus a few months. The only thing I'm going to amend is I put in the memo through September 2026, but I'm amending that to our current contract is from July 1 to June 30th. So we want to keep with those dates so that it can happen we can appoint our bond counsel after our bond deals are complete. And so that June 30th date would suffice, and we would be voting on that in the June meeting versus what we're doing now in March. So that's the only kind of change to the memo.
So Shannon, just, this is Peter, just so I'm clear. So in staff recommendation where it says, you know, you recommend Pullman and Connolly for a period of 3 years plus a few months to September of 26. Yep. So it's just going to be a period of 3 years.
Period. Yep. And yep. And then at the effective date, which is what the current contract is from July 1 to June 30th.
Okay. So we can strike those words. Okay.
Right. And Peter, just to jump in, I think there was some confusion because if you recall with the 2020 RFP, we had selected Dave Pitney and then we followed Judith Point to Pullman and Connolly. Right. And then we realized after this had been sent out that the Pullman contract does go through June 30.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem. So we are happy with Pullman and Connolly. They've maintained their fixed fee of $110,000 for each bond series from their current contract that we have with them. And we have, you know, complete faith in their experience and their quality of work that they've done with us. So that's our recommendation. Any questions? Okay.
Well, before we get to questions, let's get a motion out there. Would someone like to move acceptance of staff's recommendation for Pullman and Connolly to act as bond counsel? Is there a motion?
Aye, Laura Baker, motion.
Great, thank you, Laura. Is there a second?
Bettina, I second.
All right, so moved and seconded to accept the staff's recommendation on Pullman and Connolly for bond counsel. So now we can open up to discussion or questions, comments. Does anyone have anything?
This is Bettina. I have a few, and forgive me because I'm new to the board here. Who was the incumbent?
The incumbent was Pullman.
Yeah. Okay. And so they served so every 3 years you're doing an RFP for bond counsel. And how long have they been served as bond counsel?
So that's been about 2 years because basically we Judith Blank has been Chesler's bond counsel for years. She was with Dave Pitney.
Right.
And then when she moved to Pullman, we followed her. So Pullman, it's only been 2 years.
So you're able to change the contract midstream from Dave Pitney to Pullman?
Yeah, we had spoken to Denise and we were able to do that. I think it was agreeable on both sides.
Okay. And this is really, really minor, but it says a fixed fee of $110,000 for each bond series, or is that for each bond issue? Like if you have two series on one official statement, is it $220,000 or is it $110,000 for the one offering? And do you ever have more than one series on an official statement?
I am looking back into the lovely grid that I did to make sure.
Yeah, we have had more than one, like when we've had refunding series in addition to new money, things like that, then technically, I think they're different series. And I don't, we'd have to check to confirm whether or not it's per series.
Because we ran into that at the state with back in the day when we were just issuing each bond offering was one series, and then things have evolved and you throw in a refunding and you throw in a taxable and all of a sudden you have three series on one bond sale. And so the attorneys were charging us three times as much because that's what the contract said. So it's just a point I just wanted to clarify if it was each series of bond issue.
Yeah, no. Tina, I think that's a good point. I went.
Yeah, back I think it's a very good question, Tina.
Yeah,
I went back to our 2022 deal where we had a refunding portion of that, and the fee was higher than the 110. I think we worked on a mutually agreeable amount, but it wasn't double.
Yeah. Maybe you put that in the contract that if there's more than one series on and off on an offering, that there's a discounted price for the second series.
Yeah. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it may already be in there because in the term of their contract, we in 2019 we did, although maybe that was pre that was in the Dave Pitney timeframe, perhaps. In 2019, we had two series. Last year, we had a refunding series and a new money series. So we can double check to see if language to that effect already exists, since we didn't get to charge double last year. It may be, you know, not to exceed amount that's negotiated, but not to exceed.
Yeah, I just don't want us to get price gouged.
Right.
And I will say mostly all of the RFP respondents said that they were flexible in their pricing and they would work with us. So it does say series, but as a caveat to that pricing plan that they put in the RFP, they said they would be willing and flexible to work with us on an agreeable fee.
I mean, maybe you say per bond offering or bond official statement, or I don't know. I just wanted to point that out because we got kind of got posed by that here at the state, learned the hard way.
Bettina, I appreciate you pointing out, and I think it's an important distinction. And, we don't want to get charged double if there's two series.
Right. And in looking at the current contract, it's basically worded how Shannon said they worded it in the RFP, that it's $110,000 for each series. Although the fees can be mutually agreed upon between both parties.
Right. And I think, you know, in the case of last year with the refunding, I mean, it's not like there's no work at all involved
in
from bond counsel's perspective. So that's why we'd say, we're not going to demand two for the price of one, but we come to an agreement as to, you know, what's a reasonable amount based on the work involved. And so that has been demonstrated to be effective with the relationship that we have, not only with Judith, but with other partners at Pullman.
Right. Yeah, they're a great firm. I'm thrilled that you've selected them, but I just had that one question.
Okay. Just as a follow-up on that and the fees, that was one of my questions, or not the same as Bettina, but on the fees, for Pullman and Conley, and by the way, I'm fully supportive of the recommendation. I think Judith has been terrific over the years, and my sense is that Sandy Dawson will be the same. Mm-hmm. But under the fees, it says a fixed fee of $110,000, as we've said. But then there's a list of the hourly rates for partners, associates, et cetera. So just so I'm clear, the fee is $110,000. Period. It's not $110,000 and then plus the hourly rate, correct?
Well, what I would say is typically it says $110,000 for the series, but we're not charged additional fees throughout the year.
Right. So the way it reads in the current contract, it says legal services that are not provided pursuant to the fixed fee schedule will be charged at hourly rates. So as Josh just mentioned, if, you know, in the middle of the year, we ask them a question and they're, you know, spending hours researching it, it's not associated with the bond deal, then they bill at the hourly rates.
Yep. Got it.
I guess what I'm saying is we've never been billed at the hourly rate.
I'm sorry, Josh, what was that?
We've never actually been billed at an hourly rate. While it says that in the contract, it's basically covered us for the entire year.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments? Anything else regarding the bond counsel recommendation? All right. Well, hearing none, motion's been made and seconded to accept staff's recommendation to retain Pullman and Conley as bond counsel. If there's no other discussion, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. All right, well done. Okay, Shannon, also gonna walk us through the loan collection service.
Yes. Okay, so the same kind of precedent, every 3 years we have to request RFPs for our defaulted loan collection services. And so the same date, we sent it out on January 10th and posted it to the appropriate websites. In addition, I emailed 11 companies directly. The following three companies responded to the RFP, Transworld Systems, Inc., Continental Service Group, Inc., and Cedar Holdings International. We evaluated each of the RFPs for a multitude or criteria, basically their experience with collection agencies for defaulted student loans, regulatory compliance, staff training, utilization of technology to collect and protect data necessary to defaulted revenue. And we decided, so Transworld is actually CCA, which is the current loan collection services that we use. So we as a staff recommended Transworld, formerly known as CCA, to provide Chesla again for this next wave. They've consistently provided quality service, recovering 71% of our placements since the partnership began. And Transworld has maintained its collection fee of 17% on a regular placement accounts and 25% for legal accounts from the current contract. So we recommend them again.
Okay, before we get to any questions, would someone like to make a motion regarding staff's recommendation on the loan collection servicer?
I'll motion to approve, Laura Baker.
Okay. Thank you, Laura.
I'll second, Bettina.
Great. Thank you, Bettina. So it's been moved and seconded to accept the staff's recommendation. I'd open it up to questions, comments, if anyone has any. I have one, and I probably should know this, but I don't. But could someone, maybe Shannon or Josh, talk to me? What is the difference between the regular placement accounts and the legal accounts?
So a legal account would be when we're not getting any response back from the parties on the loan. We may have to take them to court and sue them for the debt outstanding.
Okay. All right.
I have a question. This is Bettina. And again, I'm new, so I'm just trying to catch up here. You mailed it out to emailed it to 11 firms and only three responded. Is that typical? Like, why didn't we get more responses? Just wondering.
I'm not sure. To be quite honest, I mean, I think we posted it everywhere, and you know, that we acquire a list of people that have shown interest in the past, and we mm-hmm. just haven't sent it out. So, I can't answer the question of why they didn't, but it was posted and communicated as best as possible. So, I'm not sure. Why?
I was just wondering if they like wrote back and said, yeah, we're going to take a pass on this because of XYZ or something.
There was no response. Nothing. I actually got more responses from the bond council than when I sent out the email for the collection services. There was no response from anyone.
Yeah.
And I think Bettina, typically over the years, we haven't received a lot of, if I remember correctly, we have not received a lot of responses for the collection services.
I don't
think the three responses is atypical.
And I also think sometimes, and you know, this happens with a lot of different vendors, as it becomes known in, you know, out there among the service providers, oh, you know, they always work with this particular firm. Then right. Their firms decide, well, why are we going to waste our time responding? Because they're probably going to stay with who they have. So, I mean, that happens all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it could also be that.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Jeanette.
Jeanette, just to follow up on that, and again, I'm fully supportive of staff's recommendation, so thank you. But I'm just kind of curious. You know, in the on the public accounting side, you know, oftentimes there's a requirement to change out the firm, you know, after, I don't know, 5 or 7 years. Is there anything like that in the student loan industry with a collection agent or any of our other vendors where we are required to change after a certain number of years?
Yeah, so there is no, the only requirement for changing every, I guess, technically 6 years on the auditor side is the only requirement changes. Otherwise, you RFP it and it lands where it lands. Yeah.
So to your point, if we're satisfied with the service that we're receiving from a vendor and we put an RFP out, people may think, well, Chesla's satisfied, they're going to probably just rehire who they've got. So, yeah, I get it. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments with regard to our staff's recommendation for a loan collection servicer? Any questions, further comments? All right, hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation for the loan collection servicer, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? All right, thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. All right. And I guess, is there any other business that anyone would like to bring forward? Laura or Bettina, anyone have any thoughts, questions, comments, any issue to be brought before the committee before we adjourn? All right.
Yeah, nice job.
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn, and I will report out on this to the full board at the board meeting. So would someone like to move adjournment?
I will motion to adjourn, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Rolling for the day.
And we've got
a second. Bettina.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you both very much. And we will start the full board meeting in about 7 minutes at 11:30.